All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's get started. Number one. It's a good place to start. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Elazar ben Azariah said the following: Hari ani kaven shivim shana. I am like a 70-year-old man. Velo zachisi shete Omar yitzias Mitzrayim balelos. Velo zachisi. I am never privileged. Shete Omer. So Shete Omer is a very interesting word. So the translation over here reads that the story of Exodus be recited. But if you wanted to give a more literal definition for Shete Omer, how would you translate it? What? Close. If it was said, all right. Shete Omer actually literally means should be recited by others. Shete Omer should be recited by others. I'm sorry? Well, not as much passive as the idea is it's not referring to him himself, but rather it's talking about the concept of a practice gaining acceptability. So Rabbi Elazar, again, this is just a little translation. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I am like 70 years old, and I was never privileged shete amer yitzias mitzrayim balelos. What Rabbi Shimon Elazar, or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah seems to be saying, and this we'll expand on this as we go on, is that apparently he had advocated for this practice for a long time, and it never really took root. Never really took root. Until Ad Shedarsha Ben Zoma. Until Ben Zoma came along and darshined and interpreted the verse the following way. Shneemar, the pasuk says, Leman tiskor es yom tseischa me'eretz mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. The Torah says, in order that you may remember the days of your departure from Egypt, all the days of your life, yimei, now again, Ben Zoma breaks up the pasuk, yimei chayecha, what does it mean, the days of your life? Hayamim. That refers to actual daytime. So an obligation to remember the Exodus during the day. Kol yimei chayecha. Again, in Talmudic analysis, the word kol is what we call a ribui. It comes to include something else. So if yimei chayecha is the days, kol yimei chayecha is halelos, is the night. And from here, Ben Zoma learns the obligation to remember the Exodus both by day and by night. The Haggadah happens to parenthetically quote the end of this story as well, or the other side of the Machlokes. V'chachamim omrim, yimei chayecha ha'olam hazeh. They say, days of your life refers to existence in this world. Kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life. The extra word kol, lahavi limos hamashiach, includes the Messianic era. That even after Messianic redemption, we will still make mention of the Exodus, of the redemptive nature of the Exodus. But we're going to leave aside the Chachamim right now, because that's really just brought in as an extra thing. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying? All of these years, I am like 70 years old. Then we're going to dissect this a little bit. I am like 70 years old. And what seems to be going on is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, I've tried to get people to do what? To remember the Exodus at night. Now, by the way, how do we remember the Exodus at night? Kriyashma. Right, on a regular night. On a regular night, right, we read the third paragraph of Shema, which makes reference to the Exodus. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah have been trying for so long to get people to remember the Exodus at night. You see, apparently in Talmudic times, people did not listen to their own rabbis. Again, a dynamic that we have no idea. We can't even relate to such an idea. They listen to other rabbis, though. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, again, I couldn't get anyone to say Shema at night until Ben Zoma came along, and Ben Zoma made a drasha. Of course, again, what Ben Zoma did, which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah apparently didn't do, is Ben Zoma showed how the practice is what? Rooted in the text. That's what Ben Zoma did. Ben Zoma comes along with a drasha. This is not something we're making up. This is not just something that's nice. This is rooted in the pasuk. L'man tiskor es yom tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim. Not just yimei chayecha. Remember the Exodus, not just during the days of your life. Kol yimei chayecha. At night as well. A very interesting passage. In fact, again, this, as we'll see in a little while, is actually a braisa. It's actually a Talmudic statement in Meseches Brachos. In Meseches Brachos. So the question I'd like to explore tonight is, why is this here? Why is this here? In the middle, and again, just to orient yourselves, this is the beginning of the Maggid section. All the way in the beginning, when we're talking about, and remember, we begin Maggid, of course, with, well, I guess the introduction to Maggid is Manishtana, but then we formally begin Maggid with Avadim Hayinu, and this paragraph is really only a couple of paragraphs into Maggid. The question is, why is it here? To further refine the question, take a look at number two. So here, this is a quote from the Haggadah Siach Hagrid. There are about three or four different Haggadahs on the market with the Torah of Rav Soloveitchik. There's a new one that came out this past year, edited by Rabbi Ganach, which is excellent. There's one that, not that it needs my haskama, there's one that came out last year, which was edited by Rabbi Yosef Adler of Tinek, also excellent. But the first one that really came out with the Rav's Torah was the, I'd say it's a Hebrew Haggadah called Siach HaGrid, literally the conversations of the grid. The grid is a Gaon Rav Yosef Dov, which was the Rav. The Rav. So here the Rav asks the question, but not just simply what it's doing here. The Rav asks it from a halachic perspective. Look in 2a. Memor zuhi mishnah bebrachos. So first of all, the Rav writes, this statement is actually a mishnah maseches brachos. Elod yesh la'ayin ma inyana shal mishnah zu la'hagadah. Ask the Rav, why is this here? Why is this in the Haggadah? Now look why he's asking. The mishnah zu Osekes b'mitzvas zechiras yetzias mitzrayim shebechol yom v'ilu belel haseder yeshna mitzvah miyuchedes shel sipur yetzias mitzrayim v'hamitzvah shebechol yom ein lo inyan klal lelel haseder. So listen to this. The Rav asks a very interesting question. He says, we know, and again, we need a little bit of background over here. There are two different mitzvos that we have when remembering the Exodus. There is a daily mitzvah of Zichiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, of remembering the Exodus. How do you fulfill that mitzvah? What? Okay, good. Give me a definition. How do you remember the Exodus? Not a trick question. Oh, you say, I remember the Exodus. That's it. Judaism is not all that complicated. Right? That's it. I remember the Exodus. I remember that God took us out of Egypt. That is the mitzvah of Zechiras. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sorry? Yes, we say. We say by the end, Lamantisk, what's the end of Kriyashma? Right. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. So we say every day. You don't need to. All you need to do is make mention of it, and you're remembering it. You remember that God took us out of Egypt. That's all. You don't need a whole speech about it. Just, I remember that God took me out of Egypt, or some formulation like that. The mitzvah on the Leil HaSeder is not Zechira, it's Sipur. The telling of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. How do you satisfy that?
Detail.
That's the major distinction. You could satisfy remembering without detail, but you cannot satisfy Sipur without detail. So the Rav asks a very interesting question. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah referring to? Which mitzvah? Zechira. Right? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is referring to the nightly mitzvah, and the daily mitzvah, of remembering the Exodus. What is the mitzvah that we have at the Leil HaSeder? Sipur. So says the Rav, why are we bringing in a conversation about Zechira, about remembering Egypt, in the middle of a night whose mitzvah is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Which again, so in number six, we have the historical Haggadah. So this was written by a man by the name of Rabbi Nachman Cohn. Rabbi Nachman Cohn is Baruch Hashem alive and well. He's a rabbi in North Riverdale, New York. He had a shul, the Young Israel of North Riverdale. I think he recently retired from it. He's an outstanding, my aunt and uncle used to daven there, so I know him on a personal level. An incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham. So he wrote, the name says it all, the historical Haggadah, where he tries to understand the various episodes of the Haggadah in their historical context. Unfortunately, this Haggadah is now out of print, at least the last time I checked. But you could try maybe on Amazon.com or something else, you could try to get it. But if you, I'm sorry? The historical Haggadah. Thank you for that. So again, if you could get your hands on it, it's really worth it. So here, Rav Cohn has an amazing insight. He says, Mariv was the prayer which... Thank you very much. Mariv was the prayer which was first prayed by Yaakov when he fled from Esau and was beginning his galus. As he passed the site upon which Avram bound Yitzchak as an offering, the place which later became the Temple Mount, the sun was about to set. Night, that is, galus, exile, was about to begin. At that point, Yaakov prayed to Hashem. His evening prayer established Mariv. However, this prayer was not considered to be obligatory during all eras. Rather, just as Yaakov first prayed Mariv when his galus began, so too is this prayer obligatory only in a galus situation. Thus, when the temple stood, Mariv was not obligatory. The question posed to Rabbi Yoshua by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was not merely a halachic question limited to prayer. Again, Rav Cohn, based on other sources, identifies the particular rabbi who asked the question as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai comes before Rabbi Yoshua and he asks him, Rabbi, is Mariv a reshus or a chova? Is Mariv obligatory or is Mariv optional? He's asking much more than a halachic question. What is he asking? All agreed that Mariv was not obligatory in times of peace, but that it was obligatory during periods of galus. Rabbi Shimon was asking Rabbi Yoshua for Das Torah on the status of the Jewish people at that time. Were they at a nadir in the Second Temple era, or had this era ended? And although they resided in Israel, was their situation tantamount to being in galus? So incredibly profound. Remember, now we have to take a step back. When is this unfolding? The second Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. The Jews are, right, it was terrible massacres, incredible bloodshed. There is, however, still a semi-autonomous Jewish existence within the land of Israel. The Talmud comes before Rabbi Yoshua and asks him, Rebbe, when it comes to Mariv, Rishus or Chova, is it obligatory or is it optional? Or in other words, are we in Galus or are we still living in a redemptive state? If you tell me, Rebbe, that Mariv is obligatory, then I know that Galus has begun, exile has begun, even though we're standing on the soil of the land of Israel. But if you tell me that it's optional, then in reality, although we are suffering, although we're having a difficult time, we are still living in a period of redemption. So interestingly enough, what does Rabbi Yoshua say? What's Rabbi Yoshua's position? Rabbi Yoshua holds Mariv is a reshus. Rabbi Yoshua holds that Mariv is optional. Or in other words, what Rabbi Yoshua was saying is that even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, even in the face of this unspeakable bloodshed that had been perpetrated by the Romans upon the Jewish people, Rabbi Yoshua said, we must still live in a state of hope. Man is not permitted to give up. As long as we are standing on this soil, we are still living in the midst of redemption. Mariv is still optional. Interestingly enough, if you look at number 7, you learn a little bit about Rabbi Yoshua from this Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah writes, Chamisha Talmidim Hayu L'Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. There were 5 students that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai had, which is also interesting. We'll leave that to the side. The Eluhain, these were the students. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Hurkinus, Rabbi Yoshua Ben Chananyo, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shem Ben Asar, Rabbi Elazar Ben Arach, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would praise each of his students. Remember, one of his students is Rabbi Yoshua. This is our Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. And what would Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai say about his student Rabbi Yoshua? Rabbi Yoshua, such a beautiful praise. Ashrei Yoldaso. What does Ashrei Yoldaso mean? Praiseworthy is the one who gave birth to this child. What a compliment, right? You want to compliment the child, right? What a mother. Praiseworthy is the one who brought this child into the world. The greatest compliment to a parent, of course, is compliment their child, right? If you tell me that my child is wonderful, you point out the wonderful attributes of my child, it's the most wonderful compliment. The Bartanura number 8 says, what does that mean? Praiseworthy is the one who brought him into this world, because Rabbi Yoshua was Mu'ushar B'midos Tovos. Rabbi Yoshua, what was he known for? His good traits, his incredible character, his unbridled optimism. Everybody who knew Rabbi Yoshua always said, Ashrei Misha Yaldaso. Praiseworthy is the one who brought this child into the world. That was Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua is gestalt. He was hope. He was optimism. He was, there's always going to be a tomorrow. Things could always get better. Things could always improve. He's not ignorant of the current circumstances, but he says don't necessarily allow the current circumstances to blot out any rays of sun, to blot out any redemptive light. So Rabbi Yoshua, standing in the smoldering ashes of the second Beis HaMikdash, tells the student, Maariv is optional. We are still living in Eretz Yisrael. We are still living in a time of redemption. You cannot give up hope. Rabbi Gamliel comes along, and what does Rabbi Gamliel say? Rabbi Gamliel's position was chova. Maariv is obligatory. Why? Rabbi Gamliel's approach was a pragmatic approach. Rabbi Gamliel said, we have to be practical. The Beis HaMikdash is gone. Jewish autonomy has almost practically ceased to exist. Not too long afterwards, you have the massacre at Beitar, the failed Bar Kokhba rebellion. Rabbi Gamliel says, the worst thing we could do is to fill people with false hope. Right? You see, and Rabbi Gamliel, he's very pragmatic. On one hand, he's not saying let's be morose and let's give up all of our hope. But he's saying, let's be real. Because if we create a picture that is fiction, if we create this image for the people, that's really not true or grounded or rooted in fact, in the end of the day, it's going to boomerang and hurt us. Let's be practical. Let's be pragmatic. Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Jewish people are virtually decimated. There's one little piece of Jewish autonomy left, but there is no question that although we are living here now, we are on the cusp of exile. And therefore, says Rabbi Gamliel, although we are living in Eretz Yisrael, exile has begun. And therefore, Maariv is obligatory. Interestingly enough, another Mishnah on Avos, which gives you a little bit of an insight into Rabbi Gamliel's persona, number 9, the Mishnah on Maseches Avos says, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Asi l'charav, but I don't want to focus on that, Histalek min ha-sofek. What does that mean? Is stalik min asafik? Rid yourself of doubt. Rid yourself of ambiguity. Don't give people false hope. Don't tell them that redemption is around the corner when it's not. Don't tell them that everything is going to be okay when it's not. Don't tell them that Maariv is optional because, yes, we're still standing on the soil of Eretz Yisrael, when you know that it's only a matter of time until that right and privilege is taken from us as well. Histalik min asafek. Don't create a national model of ambiguity. Let's tell the people like it is. Exile has begun. Maariv is obligatory. Interestingly enough, just to segue back for a moment, if you remember, according to the Rambam, who links the stories of the rabbis in Bnei Brak to the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who else was in Bnei Brak? Who else is in Bnei Brak? Rabbi Yoshua. Who wasn't in Bnei Brak? Rabban Gamliel. If you remember again, we actually spoke about this a little bit from last year, that according to many of the commentaries on the Haggadah, why were all of those rabbis in Bnei Brak? Especially since the only one who actually lived in Bnei Brak was who? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva. So why is everybody else, especially Pesach time, it's incredibly humid in Bnei Brak, if you've ever been there, right? But again, why is everybody in Bnei Brak, if none of them lived, only Rabbi Akiva? So the Netziv and others comment, because they came to get Chizuk. Because this was the first Pesach after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, my friends, you have to put yourself in their shoes for just a moment. Imagine that you remember last year, bringing your Karban Pesach, coming with your family, seeing the Jews streaming over from all of the hills, feeling like you're part of something so magnificent and so unquantifiable. Imagine that. And then the next year, what do you have? Nothing. You have no Karban Pesach. You have no unity. You have no Beis HaMikdash. You have a Seder plate, a couple of matzos. So what happened? These rabbis got together because they said, we have to figure out a way to pull this together. We can't let our people disappear. We can't lose ourselves in the depths of our suffering. So the invite list was very specific. Who came to this Seder? Only optimists. And again, only people who had a vision of hope. Only people who believed that we were still in a redemptive state and we have to find a way to hold on to it. We have to find a way to ensure that we do not slip into the darkness of the exile. Most prominent among them was who? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva. That's why they all come to Bnei Brak. Rabbi Akiva, remember, is the one at the end of Gemara Makos, when he's walking over the Temple Mount and he sees the fox emerge from the place that was the Holy of Holies, and the other rabbis start crying and he starts laughing, and they ask him, Rabbi Akiva, how can you laugh? The place where only the Kohen Gadol was allowed to go one time, once a year. Now foxes, shualim holchubo, foxes run around in it. And Rabbi Akiva says so beautifully, the Navi says that the Beis HaMikdash will be in such a state of disrepair that the animals will wander freely through it. It says Rabbi Akiva, now that I saw the fruition of that pasuk, I also know that the other words of the Navi will come true. Od yeshvu zikenim uzikenos birchovos Yerushalayim. That there will come a time when the old men and the old women will sit in the streets of Jerusalem listening to the playful voices of the children. That was Rabbi Akiva, and on that first Pesach after the destruction of the temple, they all flocked to him. And in that group, prominent in that group, is our optimist. The one who said, who held strong to the position, that Maariv is still optional, Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Gamliel is not there. Rabbi Gamliel is not there. Now, let's take this one step further. Now remember, the way the story goes is, Rabbi Gamliel is taken out, Rabbi Gamliel is taken out and replaced with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah assumes the position, right, of head of the Beis Din. And what's the first thing he says? Take a look at number 10. This is our quote, now I'm quoting to you from the Mishnah. One of the first things that's recorded by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is, Harayani kaven shivim shana. I don't get it. Why is he frustrated? I'm now the Nasi, I'm the head, I'm the Av Beis Din, I'm the leading rabbinical figure. And I come in to the Sanhedrin, and I say, Maranam v'Rabbanan, here's what I'd like to do. What's his first order of business? What does he want them to do? What? That's okay, that he does also, true. What's his first halachic order of business? We must remember Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. We must remember the Exodus at night. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah cries out to us in frustration, Hari ani kaven shem shana, makes sense. I don't get it. I'm smart. I'm wealthy. I even look old, right? And no one's listening to me. And I'm the Avbezdin. No one's listening to me. They only listened to me when Ben Zoma came along and made his drasha. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I've been trying for so long to get the people to say Kriyat Shema at night, but for whatever the reason, they're not listening to me. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, tell me, aren't there bigger issues for the Jewish people at this point in time historically than getting them to say Kriyat Shema at night? Why was this number one on the agenda? Take a look at number 11. Here I quoted to you a beautiful, beautiful piece by Rav Kook. So Rav Kook, in his commentary on the Haggadah, this is a much larger piece. I only quoted to you one section. Rav Kook writes the following. If you skip down three lines, Lahavin, he's actually talking about somewhat of a different topic. He says, Lahavin tam hamachlokes shal ben zoma vechachamim im maskirin yitzias rambalelos. All right, let's skip to it. Bechol davar pe'ula sheba olam yesh hachana v'tachlis. Says Rav Kook, with every action in this world, there are two parts. There is the hachana, the preparation, and there is the tachlis, which is purpose. Purpose. Preparation and purpose. Okay? V'im ha'davar hu gadol, gam ha'achona shelo nichmeda. And of course, if something is incredibly important, something is of great magnitude, it requires much preparation. Aval erech ha'tachlis, li'olam yoser gadol me'achona. But the purpose is always greater than the preparation. Meaning again, not necessarily in time or in energy expended, but in terms of purpose. You only engage in the activity not for preparation's sake, but ultimately, again, for the purpose. V'hine b'chlal, he gives an example. Yom hu tachlis v'halaylu hu achana. The good example of this is day. is the tachlis. Day is the purpose of our existence, and night is the preparation. How do we know that? Shenochim balayla kedei la'avod bayom. Because what do? We sleep at night in order to be able to labor by day. V'hine, so says Rav Kook, yitzias Mitzrayim yesh ba beis bechinos halalu. In reality, the exodus from Egypt has both of these parts, both of these aspects. Number one, tachlis atzmis v'hachona. The exodus has both a purpose as well as a preparation. Hatachlis ha'atzmis sheba, himasha ha'yitziya ha'nifla ha'hi, hodia lanu gidulas Hashem yisbarach, v'amitas hashkachaso, v'ahavasoli zera avadov, Aram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Of course, the purpose of the Exodus was what? Number one, to show us the greatness and grandeur of God, and to allow God to express His love to us in a tangible fashion. That was the purpose. But says Rav Kook, Omnam gam hi achana. But says Rav Kook, the Exodus was also a preparation. How so? Kilo nigmar tikun kola olam b'yitzias Mitzrayim. Because as we know, as great as the redemption from Egypt was not a full and complete redemption. Umeaz huchnu shibudei malchios. The perfect proof to that is what? Look where we are, right? It clearly was not a total redemption. Kedeisa chazal beperish eya she'eria. Velula yitzias mitzrayim she'echina osana bekidusha v'chiba yisera. No da'asana me'achadish baruch hu. Lo haya derech le'geula ha'asida. So says Rav Kook so beautifully that the Exodus has both of these components. On one hand, it's a purpose, but on the other hand, it's a preparation. On one hand, it had purpose, and that again, it allowed, first of all, allowed the world to see God. Number two, it allowed us to appreciate the greatness of God. And number three, it allowed God to demonstrate in a tangible fashion His love for us. That was the purpose part. But Yitzias Mitzrayim was also preparation. What was it preparation for? The future messianic redemption. The concept of the Exodus paved the way, yes, for many difficulties and for much tragedy and for much sadness and pain, but it opened the road ultimately to allow us to get to the messianic redemption. So it has both a tachlis, a purpose, as well as a hachana, as well as a preparation. So watch this. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying? Hare ane keven shirim shana. I'm the Av Beis Din. I'm rich. I'm smart. I look old. V'lo zachisi shetei omer yitzias Mitzrayim balelos. But I have not yet succeeded in what? Remember, what is shetei omer? In getting people to remember the Exodus at night. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah trying to do? What is he trying to do? He's trying to get the people to hold on to Rabbi Yehoshua like hope. He's trying to, in a certain degree, undo the influence of his predecessor, Rabbi Gamliel. What he's trying to do, he's trying to say the following. What's the connection between nighttime and Yitzias Mitzrayim? According to Rav Kook, nighttime is what? Preparation for the day. And Yitzias Mitzrayim is what? Preparation for the messianic redemption. So what is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying? I want the people to say Shema at night. I want the people to remember that the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations and travails that we are experiencing are not an ends, they're a means. And sometimes the more acute the suffering, the closer we are to redemption. The greatest frustration that a leader could ever encounter is when he can't inspire people to have hope. And as the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, I'm begging the people, say Shema at night. Remember the Exodus. Remember that it wasn't just the purpose, but it was also a preparation. Say it at night when you are preparing yourself for the next day. And remember that although we find ourselves in such difficult times, remember the fact that we are still every day, sometimes with our tears and sometimes with our blood, are paving our way to that ultimate redemption. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is trying to go ahead and promulgate that position of Mariv Rishusi. He's trying to teach the people that we have not been exiled yet. We're not in Galus yet. Mariv is still obligatory, and therefore you must remember the Exodus. You must remember the preparation aspect of the Exodus at night when you are preparing yourself for the next day. It's interesting, if you look at number 12, the next line in the Haggadah is Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Very interesting. Now, of course, again, according to most of the commentaries on the Haggadah, that's really an introduction for the next section of the Arba Banim, the four sons. But the juxtaposition is quite striking. Baruch HaMakom, blessed is the Makom, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu, blessed is He. So if you look at number 13, I quoted to you from a Haggadah, Be'er HaChasidus. The well of Chasidus, actually a quote, I believe, from the Baal Shem Tov. So he quotes over here a beautiful idea. Baruch HaMakom, Perish Shahabori Nikra Makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Makom. Why is He called Makom? Place? Because He's everywhere. Because literally, He occupies every inch of space. Sha'asa Makom La'atzmo, Ugavul Bibriyas Olamo, Va'al Yedea Bechina Shehistir Es Atzmo V'ne'elamo Mistater, V'zeh Baruch Hu, V'heim Inyan Echot. So what does the Baal Shem Tov write so poignantly? Baruch HaMakom and Baruch Hu refer to God in two different manifestations. Baruch HaMakom is where God is everywhere and can be felt everywhere. Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we know He's there, but I'm having a little bit of difficulty finding Him and feeling Him. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. What's amazing in the progression of the Haggadah, immediately after we have this section of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, immediately after we have this idea that we have to remember the Exodus at night, that we must remember that that which occurred to us in Egypt thousands of years ago was not just an ends, was not just a purpose, not just a tachlis, but it was a hachon, it was a preparation for the future. Just as nighttime is a preparation for the day, and even when we encounter difficulties, and even when we encounter incredible national sadness and despair, we must always realize that we are moving closer to redemption. We must always realize that maybe not on a halachic level, but certainly on a hashkafic level, that Mariv is always obligatory, and after I have that mindset, I'm able to say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. I'm able to engage almost in a mini Hallel, a mini praise of God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaMakom. You know what? I look forward to the day when I feel You and I see You everywhere. I look forward to the day when Your Hester Panim, when the hiding of Your face finally comes to an end. But for now, I'll have to make my peace with Baruch Hu. For now, I have to make my peace with the hidden God. I have to make my peace with the God who sometimes seems like He's turning His back on me. But at least now I feel strong enough to know that it's not true. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, the same entity, the same Ribono Shel Olam. I aspire, I look forward to that day of Baruch HaMakom, but I will use that emuna of the future to get me through the present stage of Baruch Hu. So let's just bring this all together. What we try to examine tonight a little bit is the understanding of the placement of this episode or of the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Hari ani kaven shivim shana, I'm like 70 years old, and I never got anyone to say Kriya Shema at night until Ben Zoma made his drasha. The fundamental question is, why is this here? Why is this here? So we developed essentially two approaches. First approach was the halachic approach by Rav Soloveitchik, who explained to us that the positioning, the Rav magnifies the question by asking, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is discussing the mitzvah of Zechira. Mitzvah of Leil HaSeder is Sipur. So why is this here? To which the Rav says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, actually the Baal HaGadah, is teaching us a very important lesson, that the bare bones minimum for discharging the obligation of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is Zechira, simply remembering the Exodus. We then went on to point out how interesting it is that the Rambam himself links those episodes. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we know, is one of the participants in that big Seder in Bnei Brak, and the Rambam actually links the two episodes. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah made this statement while at that Seder, almost as if to show that here you have your spectrum. On one hand, perhaps what we aspire to is a Bnei Brak-like Seder, where we go through the entire night and literally our students knock on our door, our children knock on our door, and say, time to go to shul. But on the flip side, the bare bones minimum is at least remember the Exodus. We also pointed out from there that you see that within this Seder night is the allowance for an entire spectrum of Seder experiences. None of us really fit into any one category. We all plot ourselves somewhere on that spectrum, but it's all okay, it's all good, as long as, again, our intent is to do our best. We then develop the second approach. The second approach to understanding the episode of the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the halachic approach. Hashkafic approach. The hashkafic approach really required us to go back and to look into the story that began with the tension between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel, which ultimately leads to the removal of Rabbi Gamliel from his position of Beis Din and is being replaced by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Why Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel getting so heated over Mariv? To that we sort of Nachman Koenig gives a beautiful insight that Mariv, the tefillah of Mariv, represents Golos. And the machlokis, the dispute that is unfolding over here, is what is the national state of the Jewish people in the post-temple destruction era? Rabbi Yoshua says, Mariv is still optional. We're here on the soil, we're not in Golos, we're not in exile, we must hold on to the hope and to the light of redemption. Mariv is still optional. And again, we saw how his personality traits really fit into this unbridled optimism. Rabbi Gamliel says, Mariv is a chova. Mariv is already obligatory. Why? Rabbi Gamliel says, v'histalik min ha-safek. No ambiguity. Don't give people false hope. It's not that I want exile. It's not that I don't want redemption. I want it all. But don't give people false hope. You have to paint a realistic picture so that people could really acclimate to their newfound circumstances. Rabbi Gamliel therefore held that Mariv was obligatory. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is then put in. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that the greatest challenge that he encountered when he entered into this new position was getting people to remember the Exodus that night, which, by the way, is another way of saying, reminding people that Mariv is still optional. That Mariv is still optional. 1 minute. That Mariv is still optional. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was saying, based on Rav Kook's idea, that, well, Rav Kook brings in the idea that Pesach itself had a twofold purpose. Number one, it was Hachana. Number two, it was Tachlis. The Tachlis piece is the part that we're all familiar with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed his strong hand to the world, to the people, and demonstrated his love for us. The Hachana is that it paves the way for messianic redemption as well. So using that Rav Kook, we understand that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's struggle. What does he want? All of my tenure, I'm trying to get people to remember the Exodus at night. The nighttime, which is the period of preparation for the day. I want them to recite, I want them to remember the Exodus, to remember that the Exodus itself was not just simply an ends, but it's a means to the next greatest redemption as well. And don't lose hope, even in the face of unspeakable odds. Don't lose hope, even while you are under the almost like choking grip of the Romans. We're still here. We're still in Eretz Yisrael. The glimmer of Geula is still here. Even if it's very faint, we cannot lose sight of that. Lo zachisi shete amar yitzias. I'm sorry. Lo zachisi. What was the lashon? Elazar ben Azariah says the good news, of course, is in the end he's successful, right? In the end, he gets the people to remember Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. The ultimate proof that Elazar ben Azariah was successful is that we're here tonight, 2,500 years later, to still learn about the Haggadah. That's the proof. The only way that we have survived throughout all of these years is because on an ideological level, we have never subscribed to the idea that Mariv is obligatory. Even if we've done so on a halachic level, on a hashkafic level, we have not accepted that. On a hashkafic level, we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim during every nighttime period of our personal and national existence. With Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was lamenting in the early years of his tenure as Av Beis Din, he was wildly successful in inculcating into the national consciousness of the people. And as we sit in our Seder on Pesach night, and we see a lot of things going on with the Jewish people. And although we try to go ahead and celebrate redemption, sometimes it's difficult when you look at the plight of Jews all around the world, and especially what's going on in Eretz Yisrael right now. But as soon as those thoughts begin to creep into our head, take a quick break from the Seder and remember Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. Remember the idea that just as the night is the preparation for the day, the last 2,500 years of night, our preparation for that great day. The same way that Yitzias Mitzrayim paved the way ultimately for messianic redemption, so to Emirat Hashem, we will be Zocha very soon in our days to see the fruition of all of that preparation with the coming of Moshiach. Right. Yes.